Are you being yourself?
How am I not myself?
How am I not myself?
Myself.
Everyone, welcome to Where the Sidewalk Ends, the unconventional podcast, Predictably Unpredictable. I am your host, Jasper. Today, we're going to be reading part two, The Law of Prosperity, from The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Scovel Shinn, a book written in 1925. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. One of the greatest messages given to the race through the scriptures is that God is man's supply, and that man can release, through his spoken words, all that belongs to him by divine right. He must, however, have perfect faith in his spoken word. Perfect faith, that's the key. Isaiah said, "My word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereunto it is sent." We know now that words and thoughts are a tremendous vibratory force, ever molding man's body and affairs. A woman came to me in great distress. She said she had been sued, and on the 15th of the month, she needed to come up with $3,000. She knew no way of getting the money and was in despair. I told her God was her supply, and that there is a supply for every demand. So, if I spoke the word, which I did, I give thanks that the woman would receive $3,000 at the right time in the right way. I told her she must have perfect faith and act her perfect faith. The 15th came, but no money had materialized. She called me on the phone and asked what she should do. I replied, "Well, it is Saturday, so they won't see you today. Your part is to act rich, thereby showing perfect faith that you will receive it by Monday." She asked me to lunch with her to keep up her courage. When I joined her at the restaurant, I said, "This is no time to economize. Order an expensive lunch. Act as if you have already received $3,000. All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." You must act as if you already received. The next morning, she called me on the phone and asked me to stay with her during the day. I said, "No, you are divinely protected and God is never too late." In the evening, she phoned again, greatly excited, and said, "My dear, a miracle has happened. I was sitting in my room this morning when the doorbell rang. I said to the maid, 'Don't let anyone in.' The maid, however, looked out the window and said, 'It is your cousin with the long white beard.' So I said, 'Call him back. I would like to see him.' He was just turning the corner when he heard the maid's voice, and he came back. He talked for about an hour, and just as he was leaving, he said, 'Oh, by the way, how are your finances?' I told him I needed the money, and he said, 'Why, my dear, I will give you $3,000 on the first of the month.' I didn't like to tell him I was going to be sued. What shall I do? I won't receive it till the first of the month. And then, I don't know. I just don't know, because I must have it tomorrow." I said, "I will keep on treating." I said, "Spirit is never too late. I give thanks she has received the money on the invisible plane, and that it manifests on time." The next morning, her cousin called her up and said, "Come to my office in the morning, and I will give you the money." That afternoon, she had $3,000 to her credit in the bank, and she wrote checks as rapidly as her excitement would permit. If one asks for success and prepares for failure, he will get the situation he has prepared for. For example, a man came to me asking me to speak the word for a certain debt to be wiped out. I found he spent his time planning what he would say to the man when he did not pay his bill, therefore neutralizing my words. He should have seen himself paying the debt. We have a wonderful illustration of this in the Bible relating to the three kings who were in the desert without water for their men and horses, and they consulted the prophet Elijah, who gave them this astonishing message. Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall see rain, yet make this valley full of ditches. Man must prepare for the thing that he has asked for, when there isn't the slightest sign of it in sight. For example, a woman found it necessary to look for an apartment during the year when there was a great shortage of apartments in New York. It was considered almost an impossibility, and her friends were sorry for her and said, "Isn't it too bad? You'll have to store all your furniture and live in a hotel." She replied, "You needn't feel sorry for me. I'm a Superman, and I'll get an apartment." She spoke the words, "Infinite Spirit, open thy way for the right apartment." She knew there was a supply for every demand, and that she was unconditioned, working on the spiritual plane, and that one with God is a majority. She had contemplating buying new blankets when the tempter, the adverse thought or reasoning mind, suggested, "Don't buy the blankets. Perhaps, after all, you won't get an apartment, and you'll have no use for them." She promptly replied to herself, "I'll dig my ditches by buying the blankets." So she prepared for the apartment, acted though she already had it. She found one in a miraculous way, and it was given to her, although there was over 200 other applicants. Isn't that amazing? The blankets showed active faith. It is needless to say that the ditches dug by the three kings in the desert were filled to overflowing. And you can find that in the Second Kings. Getting into the spiritual swing of things is no easy matter for the average person. The adverse thoughts of doubt and fear surge from the subconscious. They are the army of the aliens, which might be put to flight. This explains why it is so often darkest before the dawn. The big demonstration is usually preceded by tormenting thoughts. Having made a statement of high spiritual truth, one challenges the old beliefs in the subconscious, and the error is exposed to be put out. This is the time when one must make his affirmations of truth repeatedly and rejoice and give thanks that he has already received. "Before ye called, I shall answer." This means that every good and perfect gift is already man's awaiting his recognition. Man can only receive what he sees himself receiving. The children of Israel were told that they could have all the land they could see. And this is true of every man. He has only the land within his own mental vision. Every great work, every great big accomplishment has been brought into manifestation through the holding to the vision. And often just before the big achievement comes apparent failure and discouragement. The children of Israel, when they reached the promised land, were afraid to go in, for they said it was filled with giants who made them feel like grasshoppers. And there they saw the giants and were in our own sights as grasshoppers. This is almost every man's experience. However, the one who knows spiritual law is undisturbed by appearance and rejoices. While he is yet in captivity, there is, he holds to his vision and gives thanks that the end is accomplished, he has received. Jesus Christ gave a wonderful example of this. He said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are ripe already to harvest." His vision, his clear vision, pierced the world of matter, and he saw clearly the four-dimensional world. Things as they are, really are, perfect and complete in divine mind. So man must ever hold the vision of his journey's end, and demand the manifestation, that which he has already received. It may be his perfect health, love, supply, self-expression, home, or friends. They are all furnished and perfect ideas registered in divine mind, man's own superconscious mind, and must come through him, not to him. For example, a man came to me asking for treatment for success. It was imperative that he raise within a certain time $50,000 for his business. The time limit was almost up when he came to me in despair. No one wanted to invest in his enterprise, and the bank had flatly refused a loan. I replied, "I suppose you lost your temper while at the bank. Therefore, your power. You can control any situation if you first can control yourself. Go back to the bank," I added, "and I will treat." My treatment was, "You are identified with love, with the spirit of everyone connected and everyone connected at the bank. Let the divine idea come out of the situation." He replied, "Woman, are you talking about the impossibility? Tomorrow is Saturday. The bank closes at 12, and my train won't get me there until 10. And the time limit is up tomorrow. And anyway, they won't do it. It's too late." I replied, "God doesn't need any time and is never too late. With him, all things are possible." I added, "I don't know anything about business, but I know all about God." He replied, "It all sounds fine when I'm sitting here listening to you, but when I go out there, it's terrible." He lived in a distant city, and I did not hear from him for a week. Then came a letter, and it read, "You were right. I raised the money, and you will never again, and I will never again doubt the truth of all that you told me." I saw him a few weeks later, and I said, "What happened? You eventually had plenty of time after all." He replied, "Well, my train was late, and I got there just 15 minutes to 12. I walked into the bank and quietly said, 'I have come for the loan.' And believe it or not, they gave it to me without a question. It was the last 15 minutes of the time allotted to him. An infinite spirit was not too late. In this instance, man could never have demonstrated alone. He needed someone else to help him hold to the vision. This is what one man can do for another." Now I'm going to read that again, because I think this is like the most important part of this. It was the last 15 minutes of time allotted to him. An infinite spirit was not too late. In this instance, the man could never have demonstrated alone. I think this happens to a lot of us out there. We cannot demonstrate certain faiths alone. He needed someone to help him hold to the vision. This is what one man can do for another. I hope that sinks in real deep with people. I really do, because what we can do for one another is help each other hold on to the vision. That vision of the perfect love, health, wealth, supply, self-expression. We all deserve that, and we need to help each other. All right. Jesus Christ, he knew the truth of this when he said, "If two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. For my Father, which is in heaven, he will do that for you." One gets too close to his own affairs and becomes doubtful and fearful. The friend or healer sees clearly the success, health, or prosperity, and never wavers because he is not close to the situation. It is much easier to demonstrate for someone else than for oneself. So a person should not hesitate to ask for help. If he feels himself wavering, that's what you do. You ask for help. A keen observer of life once said, "No man can fail if someone sees him successful." Such is the power of vision, and many a great man has owed his success to a wife or sister or a friend who believed in him and held without wavering to the perfect pattern. Maybe I should read that one again too. Jesus Christ knew the truth of this when he said, "If two or more shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, for my Father which is in heaven." One gets too close to his own affairs and becomes doubtful and fearful. Is that not true of you? The friend or the healer, shall we call them, they see clearly the success, health, and prosperity, and never wavers because they're not too close to the situation. It is much easier to demonstrate for someone else than it is for oneself. So a person should not hesitate to ask for help if he feels himself wavering. A keen observer of life once said, "No man can fail if some other person, whoever it may be, sees him successful." Such is the power of vision, and many a great man has owed his success to a wife or sister or a friend or a brother, or whoever, anyone that believed in him. Someone that believed in him, that's where the success really comes from. Held without wavering to the perfect pattern. I just love that. And I hope you did too. This is the end of the prosperity part. After this, we're going to go into the power of the word. So this wraps up part two of the game of life and how to play it. My name is Jasper. I hope you had a wonderful time and enjoyed this very much. And thank you to all my followers out there. And if you like this, please share and, you know, make some comments in the comment section if you want, or email me at where the sidewalk ends, mac11@gmail.com, or visit my website, where the sidewalk ends.xyz. And yeah, have a fabulous day, everyone.
When you eventually see through the veils to how things really are, you will keep saying again and again, "This is certainly not like we thought it was."
Oh, thank you.